You're like, we have a ghost.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And are you ready for some 100% totally super believable footage of an absolutely legit ghost?
I ain't afraid of no pantry ghost. We watched the Pantry Ghost documentary on Amazon Prime in the spirit of Halloween, even though if the point of Halloween is getting a little scared, this fell short.
There were a couple moments where I was like, oh, this is creepy, but certainly this was not a believable ghost.
No, it wasn't. I kind of felt like Scooby-Doo had scarier episodes.
Ruh-roh.
I didn't pick up on this, and I was curious if you did, but at the very beginning, we get a title card that says that for the spirit in which this documentary was made, you should start watching it at 11:55 p.m.
Yes, I did pick up on that because the documentary is 40 minutes long. And so you'd be finishing it at the time that the ghost was appearing in this guy's house, which is 12:34 a.m.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until embarrassingly far in.
You're so cute. And then it cuts to the credits and shows who made this movie. And one guy's last name is Croatoan.
I noticed that too, and it immediately sent me to IMDb, where he is not credited as E. Croatoan.
What is he credited as? Edgar Croatoan? Because that's the same thing.
No, it's Will Kessler.
Huh.
Well, we're told that in 2007, a series of recorded events introduced us to the Pantry Ghost, what some consider the first documented manifestation of a spirit.
Because there had not previously been any ghost videos or ghost photos or anything like that. 2007 is the beginning of this whole phenomenon.
Well, every single one of these documentaries seems to make the claim that, like, we know all the other ones are fake, but this one, this was the one, guys.
And they say it's like it launched a new genre of supernatural films. No.
Is there like a whole genre of haunted closet films?
Right. Here's the haunted sock drawer.
Yeah. Like really any small space in your house could hide a ghost, I guess.
Right.
We have both an attic and a crawl space in our house, so I'm a little concerned.
We could be sandwiched between ghosts.
Ooh. You don't want to be the meat in the ghost sandwich.
No, you don't.
So they say that all these videos were uploaded to the internet, and I wondered, had you heard of this or seen these or anything before? Because I hadn't.
I had not, but honestly, this is not a space I frequent.
Yeah, it was a first for me. Apparently, all this stuff started like, you know, 10, 12 years ago. The producers of the film wanted to get the two people involved who lived at this house, the couple, to agree to go on film. And Jody is the name of the wife, and she does, but her ex-husband, John, will only go on film if his voice is scrambled and his face is pixelated because ghost hunters have been following him around and breaking into his stuff, and so he's trying to stay anonymous.
Honestly, like the something about the physicality of John, who is the husband, who is all pixelated, made me think that it was maybe Channing Tatum. So then for the whole rest of the time, I was just picturing Channing Tatum, which made it a more delightful film, I will say.
Yeah, that's a better movie.
Much better movie.
Well, Jody says that her husband was always very eccentric, and his eccentricity apparently ran to meditation. She says that he hardly ever ate. He talked about being a breatharian.
They believe they can gain enough sustenance from the sun that they don't have to consume any food.
Huh.
Which to me was like, this is why this guy came up with the pantry ghost. There's some like deep-seated issues that this man has with pantries. And so that's where his ghost is manifesting itself. Which makes me wonder, Dave, if you were to have a ghost haunt a place in your house that represented your greatest quirk.
Oh.
I have an idea for you. Maybe you have an idea for me where a ghost would haunt me.
All right. Where would you say for me?
I'm pretty sure that the ghost of the hamper has haunted you on multiple occasions because I'm sure you've noticed that you leave the hamper lid up and then when you come back the next time, the hamper lid is down. And certainly that is a ghost.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, you have a hamper ghost.
I don't really have anything good for you. I mean, we both have lots of things in the house that we don't necessarily use or visit that often. Like you have a bit of a fabric collection, which doesn't bother me in the least. I don't want people to feel like I'm like ragging on you in some way.
Fabric shaming me?
No, I'm not trying to do that at all. In fact, many times I've encouraged you to buy more, so I feel at least somewhat culpable. But it's possible that we could have a fabric ghost and not know it.
Like the fabric's being moved around and the ghost is like, when is this woman going to sew again? She has all this fabric.
Every night the ghost moves all the fabric around and every morning the ghost is just like, wah, wah.
This woman needs to get out her sewing machine. I expected you to say something like, it would be like reams of paper that would just like be misplaced.
Oh, that could be because you lose paper a lot. Yeah.
I cannot keep track of, I might have a ghost. We need to make a documentary. This is genius.
Well, Pixelated John says that all of this started when he was a kid and he would fill the hummingbird feeder before school. And then after school, it would be empty.
Ghost hummingbirds are the only explanation.
See, I thought this was going with, like, this is why he started filming shit when he wasn't around.
Yes, that's totally where I thought he was going.
Yeah, and it would make sense, but that's not the direction he goes.
So one day I just played sick and stayed home from school and just waited by the window for about 3 or 4 hours. And finally, a hummingbird came. And I felt present for the first time. I felt like I was sharing a moment in time with this hummingbird. And everything slowed down, and I could see the wings moving.
As if he was living a frozen moment in time, or he'd seen Star Trek Insurrection.
How are you doing this?
Which Jamie is laughing at because I made her watch the like 1 minute clip of that so she'd understand the reference.
Yes, that was almost shot for shot the same as his like hummingbird footage.
Yeah, if you've seen that movie, it's hard to not think of Patrick Stewart watching a slow motion hummingbird. But he says that that got him into meditation and trying to understand the flow of life and all this observation abilities that he has are what made him notice shit was changing in his house.
Yes, his astute observational skills. Yes, I don't even know.
He started noticing little changes in his house, and then he started leaving post-it notes everywhere. He would leave a post-it indicating which way the light switch was turned or where he put his keys, and noticed that the pantry door in their kitchen would be shut at night, but the next morning it would be open.
So again, I'm curious as to why you did not think that there was a hamper ghost. That seems to be the only logical conclusion.
I don't jump to the supernatural explanation first, I guess.
It's not your go-to explanation for everything.
It's not my ghost-to. He noticed this several nights in a row, so he decided to buy a camcorder and point it at this pantry door, which it's worth mentioning. It's got like a frosted glass top half.
Right.
So he gets this camera and he sets it up to start recording at 11 p.m. And we see footage from later that night at 12:34 a.m. when the pantry door opens by itself.
Yep.
3 days in a row, we watch footage of this door open on camera.
At exactly 12:34 a.m.
Yeah. There again, I thought, well, are we going to get some sort of like numerology significance? Like,
nope.
Maybe the ghost is a fan of Feist.
One, nice. Two,
three, four. Tell me that you love me more.
Spoiler alert, everyone. There is absolutely no explanation for the 1234.
No.
Or the ghost at all.
You and I both are kind of, I think, interested in some levels on numerology.
Yes.
So I was disappointed in that.
Very much.
He goes through some home videos looking to see if he ever captured anything else weird on film.
Like you do.
When he's doing that, he notices that there's a figure that he can see in the frosted glass of the pantry door.
I didn't see it. Even when I rewatched it, I think that was because my iPad screen is super dirty and the ghost is like super pixelated. But I was like, so far, I'm just seeing like smudges.
I think most of the time it just kind of looks like smudge or reflection or something, except when it's being painfully obviously faked.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that there are times when it's obvious there's something pressing up against that.
Mm-hmm.
But what is somewhat equally obvious is that it's his daughter.
Yeah. Well, he decides shit's getting real now, so he's not just going to set the camera. He's going to stay up with the camera. The door opens again at 12:34, and he goes and shuts it, and then something appears in the door. And so he opens it up to look inside, and of course, nothing is there. And this is basically how the rest of this goes.
Yes. For another 30-ish minutes. That happens again and again. And honestly, that moment when it like comes to the door, that's like the clearest that you see it when he's like actually waiting for it.
Yeah.
And that part did creep me out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was super obviously fake, but that creeped me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see like a face and hands obviously pressed against the other side of the glass.
Gave me that like delicious chill.
Mm-hmm. So he puts the videos online and people, of course, debate about whether or not it's real. And then he starts inviting people over to his house to see this firsthand. So John from Sacramento flies down. I didn't know if you caught that in the closed captions, they refer to him as John 2.
I turned my closed captions off this time, but that's awesome. I did note everyone in this movie is named John.
Yeah. And here's something that I wondered if this jumped out at you, because John 2 is staying at this guy's house and we get video of him. And, you know, it's like at night and they've staked out the pantry and this kind of heavy set guy walks into the frame.
Hi, I'm John. It's day 10, 12:03 a.m. Still nothing happening.
So did John stay at their house for 10 days waiting for this ghost? Like, John was pegged as a skeptic. So is John really going to stay there a week and a half to see this alleged ghost?
I kind of like the idea that there's this guy out there who says, like, if you're going to make these claims, like, I'm a skeptic, and if you'll let me, I'll come to your house. And once you let me in, I'm not leaving till you fucking prove it.
This guy's just squatting.
Yeah.
In these nice houses. It looks like a nice house.
It does.
In these nice houses, like eating other people's foods, watching their cable, waiting for a quote unquote ghost to come.
Yeah. It kind of serves him right.
Right?
Well, at 12:34, they see the figure in the door, but they open it, and of course, it's empty. Why not take the door off?
Well, obviously, as our listeners are about to hear, John 1, or as I like to call him, pixelated Channing Tatum,
yes,
does take the door off.
Not until they get much further in.
My initial thoughts, according to my notes, were, why wouldn't you move out of the house?
Yeah.
If this were real, you're just going to live there with this?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, John 2 wants to stay another night, and Jody says that she feels like it was a mistake giving John 2 their address.
You don't say. He's a squatter.
Yes. So they make him leave. And then the next thing he's going to try is he's going to lock the door so that it won't be able to be opened. And he films. And the door shakes a little bit and he sees the figure. And then the door slowly opens all the way and then shuts itself.
Move. Just move. Just get your beautiful wife and your beautiful child and move.
Yeah.
I'm not living in a house that has a ghost that can unlock doors.
They kind of get like a comment from Jody about like what this could be.
I didn't know if it was the wind or the knob wasn't working right or what it was at that point.
It's super windy in the middle of your kitchen?
That's even worse, Jody.
You've got structural problems then.
Right? Again, though, I just am marveling at the fact that you were not suspicious about the hamper ghost that lived in our house.
Well, I think I might have to stake out the hamper.
I love the idea that Jody is just like messing with him.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
If they were like already at the point where they were near, like she was ready to divorce him, what a wonderful way to just bring it all to a head.
And then you can be like, dude, this is on you. You went crazy about this ghost.
Oh.
Ghosts don't exist, Channing.
Well, now I'm a little concerned about you putting the hamper lid down.
As am I.
That was the whole point, to make me also concerned.
Right. Didn't work.
Like, the whole point is, like, you wish that I'd put the hamper lid down, but now instead of doing that, I've set up a ring of cameras.
You're like, we have a ghost. And I just roll with it, like, all right.
So, it sounds like, from the way that they set this up, the producers of the documentary take his tapes to a post-production facility in Hollywood, and they get this guy named Stefan Schmidt to load the footage into Final Cut and After Effects and look, and he says that there wasn't any obvious manipulation. The tapes were shot on standard definition digital tape, so it's not high quality HD or anything, but he says that the footage looks authentic.
And I actually believe that the footage is authentic from the perspective that everything was done in camera and there wasn't post-production to create the ghost.
Well, yeah, I think you probably can open a door without getting industrial light and magic involved.
I don't know. I don't know if you noticed this, but like whenever he'd open the pantry door, there would be some part of that pantry you weren't seeing for a little bit. So my theory is that the daughter, like the pantry is wider than the door.
Yes.
The daughter is like tucked in the corner. She presses her face against the glass. She goes back into the corner. He goes and opens it. And while he's sort of filming the opposite side of the pantry, she sneaks behind him.
Easily could have happened.
Yeah. But I could see where this happened. They get this house. They have the frosted pantry door. The daughter goes in to hide and then pushes her face against the glass. And then he's like, we should film that.
Yeah. John decides that he's going to follow his wife's Jody's advice and take the door off the pantry.
Why? Why? Why, John?
And he says,
that may have been a big mistake on my part because that's when things started happening strange around the house outside of the pantry.
And the strangeness is their daughter, who is 7 at the time, starts hearing voices. And we then meet teenage daughter, Ariana.
The day my dad took the pantry door off was the first night Mabel talked to me.
And she is a very, very, very poor actress.
She sure is. We get footage of child Ariana counting. And John comes in and asks her what she's doing. And she says she's playing hide and seek with her friend Mabel. And John says, well, I'll play with you. And so he goes out in the hall so she can hide. And as he's counting, the lights go off. He goes downstairs and it looks like there's a closet door shutting, but there's no one in the closet. And then a ball bounces down the stairwell.
Right.
And then he opens the bedroom and he sees somebody hiding behind the dresser and he thinks that that's Ariana, but she's hiding under a sheet on the bed.
But that, I actually kind of had like the thrill chill feeling when you see, because you see the shape of the girl underneath the sheet and you're like, oh my God, oh my God. And he kind of slowly goes to pull the sheet off
because, mm-hmm.
you know, we're supposed to believe he thought she was in the corner and he goes to slowly pull the sheet off. And I was like, oh my God, nobody's going to be under there. It's going to be like super creepy. But no, she's just under there.
I was right there with you. I really wanted him to lift up that sheet and have there be nothing there.
I was so like, oh, John, why? Why you got to do me like this?
I don't think he had the capacity to pull off the better scare.
No, that would have been complicated, especially given that, like, he's doing it all in camera.
Right. Teenage Ariana tells us that Mabel told her that her dad was seeing her in the pantry. And then one night, Ariana asked Mabel what she looked like, and Mabel said that if Ariana looked at a light bulb long enough and then looked away, she could see her in the, like, after image.
So, that's just how eyes work.
Well, you don't see a Japanese horror girl, usually, when you do that.
No. But
yes, there is an after image.
Ariana makes it sound like the after image is like, whoa, like, that's just what happens with your eyes if you stare at a light long enough.
Yes. John says that opening the door released something into his house, so he calls upon a teacher of his who teaches transcendental meditation, and I guess is also a medium?
And she looks every bit the part.
She kind of looks like a witch.
Yes, absolutely. Looks the part. He went to Central Casting and said, I need like a creepy mystic lady to come do things in my house, and they cast her.
Yes, we get to meet Penny, and she has used her gift of clairvoyance to contact Mabel.
I close my eyes, and I can feel the energy that comes through this home, and it can be either good or bad. This energy was bad.
So Penny sees Mabel and draws her on paper while she's over at the house, and then at 12:34 they hear a scream upstairs, and the medium says, it's done. Oh no.
I'm expecting something horrible.
I'm expecting anything.
I don't know why we expected anything as we sit here and talk about this film. Why we expected anything that would be impressive is just beyond my understanding. And yet we did.
You and I have seen stuff, obviously, like the horror movie genre. Axel and I have watched documentaries for this podcast where at least at the end they try to pull off something. But John runs upstairs to discover Ariana has shouted ow because she says Mabel pulled her hair.
Yep.
That warrants a, oh no.
And this is 12 days before they move out.
Yes.
Why are you going to stay there 11 more days? Isn't Mabel going to do something even worse next?
Sort of.
Sort of.
There's a bang on the ceiling, and John gets a chair to go look in the attic, and he doesn't see anything at first, but then he sees a figure and quickly closes the attic access.
And that is when you continue out the front door and you say, fuck it, the bank can have the house.
But he doesn't yet.
Nope.
One of the last nights that they're there, it might be the last night, he gets his camera and walks around in the house, and he actually sees something in the corner of the hall or something.
Right.
He tries to go get his wife, and she refuses to get out of bed. So he goes back and he sees the full entity standing in the hallway.
And I'm going to have to say props to Jody. Just let your husband deal with the ghost. Like, that's the whole point of getting married. That your husband can be the one that goes and deals with the ghost.
If you're in the horror movie at this point, there's not really a set, safe decision to be made here.
No, that's true. That's true.
Because, like, staying in the bed could get you killed. Leaving the house on your own could get you killed.
But none of these things happen because this is a fake ghost.
Well, we get one last bit with Penny where she says that Ariana still has a connection with the spirit. And then it ends with a long shot of a light bulb.
Yes.
And then it kind of like reverses out the image into something that doesn't look like anything at all.
Nope.
But the very last thing is a new clip featuring teenage Ariana very unbelievably claiming that she didn't make any of it up.
How do you know you didn't imagine it?
What do you mean, how do I know I didn't imagine it? Why would I make something like that up? Mabel was real. She really pulled my hair. She really talked to me. I did not make any of that up.
Like, that sort of, like, absolutely cinched it for me, because it was so bad. Just leave that out. You didn't have to include that in your documentary. No one's buying that.
Where would have been the best place to end this? Because here's my theory.
At the beginning. With Croatoan.
Well, that was a sign we should have stopped watching. But I think like the best case scenario, given everything that we saw, would have been if he was in that bedroom and then he goes to lift up that sheet that looks like it's, you know, covering a child shape. And you, it just like, he like flings the sheet up and you can't see anything. And there's just a scream and that's the end.
Yes. I was fully prepared to be freaked out from that scene. Disappointing.
Disappointing, sad. But did you learn anything?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I learned two things. Well, I mean, technically, I guess I learned that you're not susceptible to believing in ghosts. I learned that if you allow autocorrect to turn pantry ghost into panty ghost, you get a very different set of Google results. But I also learned that people have a much higher threshold for what they will tolerate in creepiness in their house than I have.
Yeah.
Basically, I see Mabel in the thing, like pressed against my pantry. Like one time, I'm like, oh, my eyes are playing tricks on me, whatever. The second time, we're burning the place down for insurance money.
It's not like flooding or, you know, like water damage. You don't have to disclose that your house is haunted. So I would just get the hell out.
Yes. We're selling this house. Relocating. Must sell. You can have everything in it. Mm-mm. Nope. And I kind of feel like, and you might disagree, I could have the notion of a ghost put into my head and then possibly see something that makes me think it's a ghost. So this would not be an ideal situation for me.
I wouldn't describe you as a susceptible person in that way. I've been more scared that there's somebody potentially in my house than I've been by most things like this that I've watched.
I feel like a big problem, too, is that we are not introduced to any backstory for Mabel. It's not even like, oh, we found out we bought this house and a little girl died in it from something in the pantry or something. There's just a ghost in our pantry.
Yeah, I was really hoping that when Penny showed up,
yeah,
she would have gone, you know, used all of her powers to give some sort of backstory or give some sort of like layer of creepiness to what was happening, but it really doesn't.
No, it didn't. It's October, and so, you know, I kind of wanted something to be a little creepy, but not too creepy, because I need to be able to sleep without being worried that somebody's going to murder me in the night. And so this felt like a safe choice, but it was like an ultra safe choice. Nothing about this will convince you that the pantry ghost exists.
No.
So what did you learn, Dave?
A couple things. I went on to YouTube to look this up to see if I could find the videos on there. And there's a YouTube channel called Looper. And so they have a video called Creepy Paranormal Documentaries That'll Make You Question Everything. And it's been viewed by over 400,000 people. And this is on that list.
Mm.
If I made that video and I got 400,000 people to watch this thing, I would feel bad about myself.
You would feel bad about yourself, like for tricking that many people.
400,000 people have been lied to about whether this is worthy or not to watch.
Oh, I see. You mean the compilation person?
Yes.
Should feel bad. Yes. The compilation person should feel terrible about their crimes against humanity.
They basically recommended this, and 400,000 people saw that recommendation.
No.
The other thing that I learned, cell phone cameras continue to improve, and we've got like 4K video, and eventually we're going to get 8K video. And I think it's going to kill this kind of documentary that's really dependent upon crappy, dim, blurry, artifact-filled footage to fill in the gaps in what they're trying to sell.
Yeah, I think that that's probably safe to say. I think you could pull off this deception without having to rely on bad footage, because I think it was just so simple. It's just you don't show the entire pantry and the girl sneaks out behind you. Like that's the depth of complexity in this.
There's the pantry footage, and then there's also the footage where he kind of sees this figure in the attic and in the hall. This camera really doesn't do good when there's hardly any light. And like that kind of footage, you're not going to be able to rely on selling anybody with that for much longer, I don't think.
No, I think that's fair.
It's one of those like science and technology killing mystery and the supernatural.
Well, and I think that like part of why this succeeded as like quote unquote credible ghost footage is that in 2006 and 2007, special effects were probably not as easy for a home video producer to make.
Right.
It's like this more physical, actually like doing the thing that you're attributing to the ghost, having that actually happen, I think makes it a little more believable. That said, it is not believable at all. Listeners, if you watch this film and you walk away convinced that there was a ghost in Channing Tatum's pantry, please write to us. You can reach us at Super True Story on Twitter or on Facebook at Super True Stories and tell us why you believe this is a credible film. Otherwise, join me in trying to convince Dave that there's a ghost in our hamper. I'm telling you, Dave, it's spooky.
I'm going to get the camera set up tonight.
Just make sure one corner of the hamper isn't in your shot and we're good.
We need to hire a small child to hide inside the hamper. It's pretty big.
It is a big hamper.
Happy Halloween, I guess.
Happy Halloween.
Even though we weren't scared, it's still a fun time of the year to do a podcast. And it's a fun time of the year to listen to the artist who's created our theme song. It's Mexicana Massacre by Tomb Dragomir off of his instrumental Psycho Synth album. You should check him out. You should also check out our friends at 6 Foot Plus and our friends at the Projection Booth. And you should not check out The Pantry Ghost.
No. And I'm going to go ahead and let you make your own choices about checking out The Panty Ghost.
I might be willing to explore that a little bit with you.
Oh, great. On that note.
On that note, we will catch you next time.
Bye. Spooky.